The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio on this Friday, the 18th of August 2023. It's just turned 5 minutes past nine and we are broadcasting live today. We're out of the studio. We are on Letterkenny's Main Street, just outside the county seat. We want to thank the county seat and the crew there for facilitating our outside broadcast. We are here to mark the Letterkenny Festival 2023, celebrating music, pride and community unity. We've got loads of conversation, bits of music and what have you coming up for you over the course of the programme. We'll have That's Entertainment, as always, that's coming up for you after 11 o'clock. So there's no excuse to go anywhere. Now, our lines are open as normal. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. And if you want to watch the show, you can do that too. Go on to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, for your smart TV, your Fire Stick, your laptop, tablet, whatever device it might be, Highland Radio Ireland, to watch the show and our guests and the music and all that malarkey. And if you want to watch on Facebook too, it's Highland Hub or Highland Radio News and Sport. And there's a Watch Live tab on our website if you want to watch in browser. Okay, so we've assembled a youth panel, I suppose you could call it, this morning to discuss some issues. We can say good morning to them now, fingers crossed and all that. Chloe Martin is on the Student Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Good morning to you, Chloe. Are you there, Chloe?
Good morning.
Good morning. You think you would know where the mute unmute button is now at this stage. No, it's good to have you with us. Thank you very much, Chloe. Stephen Sheridan's a student councillor with Mulroy College, Milford. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Morning there, Greg. How are you getting on?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be out and about, actually. Tiernan Lynch is on the student council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Good morning to you, Tiernan.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I am good. Great to see you again, Tiernan. And Cassie Lamb, regional officer for the Irish Second Level Students Union. Good morning to you, Cassie.
Morning, Greg.
You're becoming a bit of a regular.
Yes, it's good though. Yes. I love being a bit of a regular now.
Okay. It's good to have all of you on the programme. There's no wrong answer to this question, by the way, but the front page of all the papers today is the news that Ryan Tuberty is not returning to RTE. And I'm just curious as to whether any of you have any interest, knowledge or care about it. And as I say, there's no wrong answer, because if you don't, in a way, that's kind of indicative as well. So I'll start with you, Cassie. Have you been tracking that story? Do you care either way?
I think I do care with it, because, you know, say when I was younger, you know, you every Christmas or November, you'd be waiting until the toy show night. You know, that's something in my childhood we'd always look forward to, and then Ryan Tuberty would be hosting it. And, you know, when you hear about what's happening now, it's nearly heartbreaking, because like, you grew up watching him, and I feel like some people are actually forgetting of all the stuff he's actually done, the good stuff he has done, you know, with all the money from the toy show going to Temple Street Hospital, or he goes to visit children. But because of one thing that may or may have not been partly his fault, all the people are just, I feel like, are turning their backs.
I think what the issue here is, though, Cassie, is that it was partly his fault, and he released a statement this week that kind of once again opened the question as to whose fault is it. More RTE, is it more his? And I think that was just enough to say, right, okay, we're trying to move forward, but we're going back to that argument again. I suspect he'll regret that statement from Wednesday for a long time to come. Tiernan, Stephen, Chloe, any of you been tracking that story at all, or have any interest, or is he just the toy man from your youth?
Well, look, I suppose it feels like a bit of a, our trust has nearly been taken advantage of in this case. You know, to us, I'd say, yeah, yes, the toy man, that is the height of it, more or less. You know, we might come and watch the regular shows, and they always are great, and he's been great, but, you know, then just to see this come out now, just at the end of his, I suppose, his television career for now, anyway. I suppose It is, yeah. I feel anyway about taking advantage of here. Just, you know, he's been such a key character in my childhood now, and to see all this happening is, oh, well, you know, I suppose it's shocking more than anything, Greg.
Yeah, it is the way of the world. All right, listen, by the way, listeners might want to have a view on that. Of course, you can. 0860 25000. What's your views on Ryan Tubridy, the talks about him returning to radio ending? I wouldn't be surprised if A, he pops up on News Talk or something else, because they can get him pretty cheap, and it'll be a big scoop for them, it would be seen as. And B, there's still some questions as to whether or not he has a contract with RTE, and it may well end up before the courts as well. Who is to say? We were talking a little earlier this week about some of the things the Electoral Commission are considering. One of those is the issue of lowering the voting age down to 16. Tiernan, I'll start with you, if that's all right. Do you think we should lower the voting age down to 16? And I would almost, whether it's yes or no, want to get into the reasons as to why. So on the first instance, Tiernan, would you like to see the voting age lowered to 16?
Well, ever since I was 14 years old, I've always had an interest in politics and seeing how the world actually works around us. I've recently turned 18, the 3rd of August, and from having, like, I remember just always saying, oh, I can vote now, I can vote. It's such a privilege to have as an Irish citizen. And from even from the age of 16, when I started TY and learning about the voting process, it's always had been such an interest, and I always wanted to do it. And for me personally, for someone who does have an interest in politics, I just feel like it can be a bit unfair that I'm not allowed to vote until I am 18. I could go into more details about that, but I think Chloe might have things to say about it more.
Yeah, well, we'll hear from all of you. But just on that issue, when we were discussing this a little earlier in the week, it was sort of suggested that, OK, well, if you want to vote from 16, that means then if you commit a crime, not that any of you would, then you should be treated like an adult in that regard. Do you know what I mean? So do you think you could afford someone the right to vote at 16, but then treat them like a child, in inverted commas, in other areas, such as, you know, criminal responsibility, for an example?
I think when someone is voting, or when someone is being treated under a certain circumstance, I think the government or society would treat the child differently based on where they're at. For example, when I was in the Gaeltacht, I was treated more like a student or a child, but when I was doing Pareto for Progression, I was treated more like an adult. So it's really how an adult or an organization would treat an individual. Turning 18 now, I feel more like better and more into politics, and I feel more treated like an adult, in contrast to about a year ago, where I was still treated like a student or as a very young person with no voice or no say.
All right, Chloe, do you want to come in there? Chloe Martin on the Student Council of Loretta Community School, Milford. Would you like to see the voting age lowered to 16? And if so, why?
I definitely would. I've spoken about it a good bit, actually. And the biggest thing for me is taxation without representation. So I've been working since I was 15, being taxed since I was 15, and taxed heavily at that. And I've still had no say in anything that even goes on in my local government, let alone national. So the government feels like it's okay to tax me as long as I can't put my voice out there and give a vote. And then as well as that, I believe that 16-year-olds who study politics or just have an interest in politics are just as knowledgeable about civics and have the same ability to make good voting choices, because somebody who's young and studying politics or just researching could have more knowledge than a 50-year-old who's just going by what his family's voted for generations.
Are you confident that, 16, 17-year-olds would vote on the issues and not just follow their parents in a way of voting, or not simply vote for a party that isn't in government because, you know, it's kind of a rebellious thing to do? These aren't my opinions, by the way. I'm just trying to tease the conversation out and to really maybe convince people that, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds are responsible and should be, you know, able to have a say. But are you satisfied that 16 and 17-year-olds would, in big numbers, look at the facts, look at the issues and vote accordingly?
I think 16-year-olds, given the chance, can prove people wrong in the fact that we're just all numb to things like social media, because we're the people that see the issues firsthand. We're the ones, especially things like things going on in rural Ireland and all, like, I am one of the young people living around here. I know what's going on, and I have a fresh point of view. Whereas people talk about all this life experience that adults have, and while that might be true, we have the experience of being a young person and having fresh eyes to problems. And I do think that given perhaps the right education, people, young people would definitely come out and use their voice to vote if they got the chance.
All right. Stephen, what do you think?
Well, I think, anyway, it's fantastic to see the Commission's actually looking at lowering the age. You know, it's been a really healthy step. It's been something, you know, a lot of the, especially, you know, some of the student activism groups have been really pushing for it now for a long time. So it's really healthy to see that, that has been recognised by the Commission, I suppose. And look, I suppose here we're today, yes, we're the here and now, but like the legislation that, you know, the people that we vote in will be, you know, writing and acting on and enforcing and voting on, I suppose, well, really will affect us today, but will affect the young people for the rest of their lives. You know, today, we're 15, 16, and, you know, we don't have a say in that.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because a lot of the decisions that are being making now, I mean, you inherit really whatever, you know, whatever roads we decide to go down. But again, I'll put it to you, would you be confident, Stephen, that, you know, 16, 17-year-olds would look at the issues and vote accordingly?
I do trust them, yeah. The issue that I would see is the lack of voter education before we look at, you know, how young people would vote. Because I suppose some of them may choose to follow their family's trends, I suppose, in voting. And
yeah, but there's 30, 40-year-olds do that, so I don't think that necessarily... That necessarily would be
need to look at a voting education for all, I suppose, is what we're lacking.
Yep, not a bad point there. Cassie, what do you think? If I recall correctly, I think you were opposed to 16, 17-year-olds getting the vote. Am I right? Am I misremembering?
No, I am for, actually, the Vote 16 campaign. That's what I'm for, anyways.
Okay, sorry, my mistake.
Oh, don't be worried. So, you know, Ireland has one of the youngest populations in Western Europe. The third of our population is under 25. You know, the Citizens' Assembly voted 80% in favour of the Vote 16 in 2018. And, you know, multiple votes at 16 bills and extensions adding the voting right to 16-year-olds, but has failed. Political will is not there, you know, because as an ISSU officer, as a student, and even as a young person, I've seen how young people want to be able to engage and participate in society. Because young people are more than capable and aware. Young people want to participate in civic society, and grassroots are seen in this climate. You know, we have climate strikes, memberships of youth organisations, student councils, it goes, etc. And, you know, there's countries that do have Vote 16, you know, Scotland, Australia, and even Wales. You know, that is being a success so far. So I think the Irish government should just take a look about how other countries are doing with it.
Maybe that's what they're doing and that's what they're afraid of. Chloe, how different do you think Ireland might be if 16 and 17-year-olds vote? Because I do think, you know, often the conversation doesn't really talk about why people resist it. I think there is a fear that, you know, we could become very liberal, that, you know, 16, 17-year-olds could hold the balance of power, because there's a great deal of apathy out there. But 16 and 17-year-olds, if they got the vote, might be emboldened and might sort of vote 80, 90% turnouts and what have you. So, Chloe, do you think if young people were allowed to vote, the 16 and 17-year-olds, that it would make us a more liberal country? Is that perhaps what people are afraid of? Or where do you think the resistance comes from?
I think people aren't afraid of young people not showing up. They're afraid of them showing up and having a voice that's different to theirs, because Ireland, I mean, we're a fairly conservative country and it's been that way for years and years. But as time moves on and, you know, generations come up, young people have fresh ideas. And as well, like, we want to have a voice in things and laws that affect our lives. And I think that people that are a little bit older maybe just feel like, oh, wait till they're 18. But it's the difference of 2 years. And while we're in school and getting an education, we have every right to want to share our thoughts on that.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about taxation and what have you. I mean, one of the first issues you could start talking about is this crazy sliding scale on the minimum wage, where you have a, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old working in the same job potentially as a 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old, but working for a fraction of the wages.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been working since I was 15, and my first job, I was working with people a lot older than me, and I was getting paid a lot less. And I'm in a new place now, but back then, you know, it was because I was younger and I was on, I was on below minimum wage actually, and still getting taxed heavily by the government.
Yeah. Okay. Tiernan, just in relation to the comments from Stephen there about education, people's education, about democracy, about voting and all that type of stuff through the school curriculum. I mean, obviously you've already referenced, and I think all of you have an interest in politics, but if you don't, is there much focus in school about explaining, you know, how democracy works, what the local authority does, you know, what TDs do, you know, how proportional representation works? I mean, does that come across students much in this day and age?
When I started fifth year, that's when the growth of politics really came to me, especially when the subject politics society was introduced in my school. I thought it was a fantastic subject, and that's why I mainly chose it. Politics and society mainly taught me the structure of the Irish government, the Doyle, the Shannon, and Luke Theron. And it's amazing how this subject has been invented and created and developed over time. And from learning key thinkers and doing lots and lots of research and learning more about Irish people and the globe, really, it's been a fantastic experience. And for me personally, for young people and education on politics and society, I think the subject needs to be expanded to junior cycle. I think this should be a requirement, or in the SBHE curriculum, it should be added on to, even if it's a chapter or a small section in a chapter. I think young people need to know how voting works. For me at 14, when I was in second year, I did not have a clue. I didn't know about PRSTV. I didn't know about the Northern Ireland Assembly. I didn't know about the UK government, Westminster. So I think that we should introduce topics, especially at 13, 14, 15 in the junior cert and in transition year, to learn more about how politics, or not even politics, voting works, and the basics of how to vote and where to vote and how to form your opinions, or which party does a young person would align with the most.
Yeah, OK. And Stephen, just before we take our first break, you raised this issue about, awareness. Is enough being done? Would your views align with Tiernan in perhaps what needs to be done? I mean, I think when we look at turnouts of 40 for council elections, 40%, 45, 50, 55 for general elections, you know, the loudest voice is sometimes is those that don't vote. Why don't they? Are they disinterested? Do they not know? Do they feel disenfranchised? But anyway, maybe we could start at a younger age sort of educating people on all of this stuff, Tiernan. Sorry, Stephen, I beg your pardon.
Sorry, yeah. Well, look, absolutely. You know, the points that Tiernan raised there, you know, bang on. That's exactly what we're looking for. And I suppose even at the minute, you know, we do have the CSPE course, but it is lacking, I suppose. It's there. It's all there. It's the way it's been taught. You know, there's very little resources for teachers there. And I think that's where guys, you know, like the ISSU there with Cassie can come in. I know they're working hard there to do that. So, no, look, even to expand politics and society into junior cycle, I absolutely would be I would support that anyway, yeah.
All right, great stuff. Thank you very much indeed for now. You're listening to the voices of our Friday panel. Cassie Lamb, Regional Officer for the Irish Second Level Students' Union. Tiernan Lynch on the Students' Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Stephen Sheridan, who's a Student Councillor with Mulroy College, Milford. Chloe Martin, on the Student Council of Loretto. We are broadcasting our show today live from Letterkenny Main Street, just outside County House here. And thanks again to our friends at the County House for giving us the power and what have you. And later on in the show, we're going to be talking about why we're here, which is to celebrate the start of the Letterkenny Festival 2023, celebrating music, pride and community unity. We've got loads of interesting conversations and, as well as that, some live music for you as well. We'll be back with more from our panel after the break. Chloe, we were talking to Chloe Martin. We were talking yesterday to a group called She, See Her Elected. And they were discussing recently the issue in perhaps online abuse, in-person abuse being a barrier to women entering politics. They're behind a big move to sort of sort that out ahead of next year's elections. Chloe, I'll put the question to you first, and I think I was framing it to you in the first place. Would you have any reservations about entering public or political life in this day and age, given sort of the what we see on social media now?
Absolutely. I think I would definitely have reservations about it, because at the minute there's such a heavy interest on cancel culture, and people, the way it is, media owners aim solely for profits and to get ahead of their competitors. And websites are only going to print things, or papers are only going to print things that people want to read. And people are far more likely to want to read about a scandal or political upheaval than they are good things like royal weddings or celebrations. People want to focus on the bad things. And something that always comes to my mind when talking about toxic media is the tragedy of Caroline Flack, and how it really shows that people see a rumour online and run with it, and how that can end. And actually, one of the people who wrote one of the first articles about her came out and said that it had been a slow news day, so she felt emboldened to use a tone that was cruel and uncalled for, because it was all over social media and she herself had no opinion on the matter. But it just shows how twisted things can get on social media.
Yeah, and it's also mainstream media too. I'm not sure if you're familiar with GB News. It's a relatively popular news station, if you could call it that, in Britain, and some of the evening programme is dedicated solely, it would seem, to sort of taking down Harry and Meghan, you know, in the most nasty way. And if anything were to happen to either of those, similar to what happened to Caroline Flack, it would not be a surprise, such as the targeting of them. Tiernan, what do you think? Would you be reluctant to get involved in public life or elected politics, you know, because of the toxic nature of social media, or what?
Oh, well, for me, as Chloe was saying, cancel culture is huge. I feel like celebrities or politicians or anyone who is well known could get cancelled in an instant for a mistake or something they have done in their past. We have seen many politicians suffer many online abuse. An example that comes to mind would be Cara Hunter from the SDLP in Northern Ireland. A fake video was leaked of her. And it was, when I first heard of it, I thought it was awful. I heard about this when I went to the Good Friday Agreement back in April of this year. And hearing her experience was a major eye-opener for me. And it was disgusting, and it was almost inhumane and cruel and brutal, if I'm honest. So seeing that happen to politicians, it probably would put one off, for example, myself, and probably many women in politics and many men as well. So for me, as a society, for cancel culture and abusing those in power, I think we need to remember a word in Irish COVAS, which is mutual respect, or respect for people, which is something that we really do lack in this day and age.
What's your view, Stephen?
Well, I suppose public life's as public as ever, as it ever has been, Greg. You know, between social media and mainstream media, you know, when it comes to tabloid newspapers especially, you know, public individuals, even whether it be celebrities in media or politicians or whatever they may be, Everything. You may know everything about them thanks to media today. And frankly, there are no secrets if you choose to go on to live a fairly public life. You
know, and also, the issue is as well, which is concerning. I know some people listening won't agree or like this, but if you are a member of the traveller community, if you are a member of the LGBTQ plus community, if you're a person of colour, or if you're a woman, it seems you are more likely to be targeted with very specific harassment. Cassie, you're nodding in agreement there.
Yeah, so being part of any of those groups, being even as a young girl in today's age, you know, I love politics. It's something I'm passionate about. It's something I would love to see myself in the future doing. But if you really do think about it, is it really worth all the stress and then all the fake news? Like, you know, something can pop up and your name has never been included in anything and you're on the front page of the Irish Times of something you didn't do. Is it really worth of everyone, people you don't even know, taking photos of you or, you know, all
But the thing too, though, Cassie, and all of you, which is even more worrying, of course, you know, we've seen situations where people have been pictured in private in a nightclub or what have you. But now with the advent of artificial intelligence, I'm sure you've all seen the videos whereby a celebrity's face has been, you know, superimposed on another person's body. And also, obviously, the voice can be replicated as well. I mean, a year ago, you would know it had been done. But even now, it's almost impossible to differentiate an artificial intelligence generated video, let alone a photo. So I think it's going to become even more of a challenge. Chloe, what do you think, you know, in the years to come, whereby it's going to be very hard to find out what is the truth and what's not the truth?
I think AI is genuinely, it scares me. That's not me being dramatic. I see it all over especially TikTok. It's all over TikTok at the minute. Videos of like celebrities' voices attached to different songs and them saying different things that they would never say in public. And even just them, their photos being photoshopped or videos, when technology evolves from that, you're not going to be able to tell if it is a celebrity.
Like, it really is difficult, isn't it? It's really difficult now to determine. You know, you can see people being caught out by some of these accounts. Obviously, not the. I mean, you know, Nelson Mandela rapping Eminem. I mean, clearly that's not, I'm not on about that stuff, but you know what I mean. It's, what do you think, Tiernan? Do you think AI perhaps one of the biggest threats to democracy going forward? Or
I think for me personally, I've seen many advantages technology. For example, I really love my phone. Like, you should have seen me in the Guild Talk. It was just awful. But at the same time,
That was when you didn't have your phone. Is that what you're saying? You were you were nude over there without your phone, or it felt like it.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I've seen many like theories on how technology could progress in the future. And even now with the developing of deepfakes and how a person can put a face on someone else in a video and spread complete lies, this could be a major threat to democracy. But it really could have, it really could lead to a lot of issues and it could cause a lot of unnecessary controversies.
Last word before a break from you, Stephen.
AI absolutely is terrifying, you know, when you see it, whether it be Nelson Mandela rapping Eminem or as politicians being, I suppose, superimposed into images where maybe they shouldn't be in certain places. It's terrifying to see that it can be done. Even the capabilities are just beginning to show now, and the one word would be terrifying.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, stay right where you are. Before I take that break, I just want to give you a heads up that we have our €20,000 mega summer draw ongoing here at Highland Radio. And a little later on this morning on Around the Northwest, and John Breslin returns to present that show today, there is €2,500 to give away. €20,000 in total to give away. We've already given away €2,500. Another €2,500 to be won today. More next Friday. And then there's a big 10 grand prize to be won as well on the following Friday, along with another €2,500. So you can still get your tickets if you want to be in the chance to win the money today. But you're also obviously in all of the draws if you get your tickets before the deadline closes. Caroline mentioned, I think, what time was it closing at? Maybe 11:30. Anyway, I'll double check that. I don't want to mislead anyone. 2 o'clock, sorry. OK, it's going to close at 2 o'clock today. So you've got until 2 o'clock to be in the four remaining draws. You can go on to our website, highlandradio.com, and click the link there and buy your tickets, or you can give us a call on 07491 25000, and the team will sort you out there as well. But if you are going to be entering, you might as well enter this morning, because that means you're in all of the draws. Yes, you're very welcome back to the programme. Already a bit of a buzz around Andrew Kenny, obviously, given the fact that I'm normally on the radio on Mountaintop. I don't normally get to see Andrew Kenny Main Street at this time of the morning, but as I say, a good buzz about already. And if you are out and about, don't forget to give us a wave. And I want to thank O'Hare's for coffee and scones they've sent up to us as well, which is lovely, isn't it? Thank you very much for that. I look forward to watching everyone drink them and eat those scones, because I can't, because I'm doing this. But anyway, listen, it's all about the team here. Right, we're in the company of our panel. It's a younger panel, I suppose, as we're heading back to school times, college times. We have Cassie Lamb, Regional Officer for Irish Second Level Students' Union. Tiernan Lynch on the Students' Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Stephen Sheridan, Student Councillor with Mulroy College, Milford. Chloe Martin on the Student Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Now, I don't want to invite your amazing young voices onto the programme and then sort of steer the agenda, so we can return to some of the topics it might be interesting to get some views from you on. But I suppose, and I'll just go down the list as it is here in front of me, and I'll start with you, Cassie. You know, from your perspective, what is one of the most important issue for you that you believe that maybe we're talking about or not talking about enough? Is there something of particular concern to you?
So personally, I feel like, you know, body image. I know there's a lot of controversy around it, and, you know, there is awareness about it, but there's no support. You know, I would always support for body image and people who do suffer from an ED. I'm very passionate about
that. That's an eating disorder, isn't it, you're referencing there? Yeah.
Yeah.
An ED, okay.
Because, say, on social media, you know, I see that nearly as deadly for young girls. You know, say, you know, I see on Instagram or even on TikTok now, you know, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds doing, you know, full face makeup, or, you know, they're doing proper skincare routines that I'm only starting to do now.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's young girls and their parents, you know, putting on diets, and there's things called now almond mums, and they're very strict on their children on what they eat or what they themselves eat. You know, I just think it's horrible that, you know, it's not being talked enough in school. You know, I'm very lucky. I have a great support system in my school. I can always go to someone, but there's not always that support system around in schools or in communities.
How big is the pressure on young people to, you know, conform to a certain image or body shape or look? I mean, is it ever present, the pressure, or does it depend on the individual feeling they are under pressure?
It's, I feel like it's always going to be the individual, but also, say, as a young person who wants to go on to do nutrition or become a doctor or a nurse, you know, the personal image of that is to be slim. You know, if you're going to study nutrition or dietetics, you have to be a very slim person. And that's 100% wrong. You know, if that's something you're passionate about, you should go do it. It's the same with politics, maybe even. You know, if you go back 30, 40 years, the face of politics, genuinely, it was all men. And, you know, there's women coming into it now, and I think it's absolutely amazing that they are. But at the same time, where is our female Taoiseach? You know, there hasn't been one. And there's always those types of sorts. But then there's pressure on, say, younger girls who see more older girls who might be 20 or 25 putting up videos on what they should be eating, what they should not be eating. You know, you can't compare a body of a 25-year-old to a 10-year-old.
And the worst of it is it's all down to money. It's all being monetarized, and it's off the back of young people. You talk about women in politics. I mean, often her name escapes me at the moment quite embarrassingly. The Prime Minister of New Zealand and Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland would have been seen as the two sort of maybe, you can be it if you see it, sort of women in politics, and yet both of them have stepped away because of burnout or wanting to get on with other aspects of their life. That's two role models out the window there. Tiernan, do you agree with Cassie? I presume you do, in terms of, body image, conformity, whatever it might be, being a big challenge for young people. And it's interesting, too, from Cassie's comments, that some of it maybe it's not just the influence of social media, but parents maybe as well. Not our parents, but you know what I mean? You see it out there. What do you think, Tiernan?
Cassie's point of view is very valid, and I agree 100%. There's such a idea that an individual has to have a certain body type, and it's especially on Instagram and Snapchat, it's constantly portrayed that a young person needs to have a certain body. I think as well, for pressure on young people or young people problems as well, vaping and using tobacco products are probably another huge
stay
one.
There because I'm going to come back to that specific stay that because I'll come back to that specifically. I'll just get a quick word from Chloe just in relation to Cassie's remarks. What do you think, Chloe?
Absolutely, the pressures on young men and young women and men in today's age to look a certain way or act a certain way. Like, I see a lot of people on TikTok, and I think it ties into politics as well. Girls who might express points get told, like, the comments under, like, get back in the kitchen, or girls are expected to sit there and look pretty and not have an opinion. And I suppose as well, men are expected to just be these big, strong people who don't cry or have emotions. Like, it's a two-way street there.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. There are always those roles that even in 2023 people kind of feel compelled to conform to. Tiernan, I keep mixing Tiernan and Stephen up. My apologies. Stephen, what's your view on this briefly?
sorry. Look, whenever we've got the chance, whenever I get to speak to young people in this region, it's always been up there. The body image has been a top three topic that young people have been concerned about in this region of recently, anyway. And I suppose, yeah, like Chloe said, there that really is a two-way street as well. You know, we have to, we can't really enforce these stereotypes, even if I may say, on men and women. You know, and I suppose that's why we need to really raise awareness on body image, and whether that be physical or mental.
Yeah, and I don't think adverts, you know, because there's a commercial element to them as well, sort of adverts. If you look at some of the adverts, that they almost go over the top to portray differences. And I'm not sure, I think that's tokenism. I think that's just like the same as saying, you know, drink aware when you're advertising booze. I think it needs to be more nuanced and more thought need to be gotten into it. Right, back to you then. Tiernan, you wanted to talk about vaping, and I've said it on the show before, so I'll just reiterate it. We have seen an explosion of vaping amongst young people, completely unregulated heretofore, and I think young people have been done a really disservice, because there are tens of thousands of them now addicted to vaping, and God knows what else they'll end up taking, because they've been failed by regulation and oversight. But I'm more interested in your views, Tiernan.
I think it's a huge problem. It's massive, just on young people's physical health, but also on the environment as well. We are in an age where we need to start worrying about the climate and fixing it. And I feel like that's just not being represented enough when we're talking about the problems of vaping. As someone who is on Donegal Youth Council, I love it so much. It's probably one of the best experiences I ever had. Stephen's on it as well. We have decided to take action against this. We sent a letter to the Minister for
Minister Health.
For Health, I believe.
Minister for Health, I presume. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Stephen Donnelly, I think
that's him.
Yes, that's the Minister for Health.
I think so.
Well, they've been on holidays for so long; it's easy to forget. Okay, so we'll give you a pass on that one, Tiernan. Go ahead.
And we sent a letter explaining our concern and our issue on vaping products. Like, in schools especially, I do tend to see more vapes and pencils being used. And it really is a huge issue, and it does need to be a big concern for young people today in Ireland and in the UK especially.
Right, okay. Now we are going to... I just want to make sure we get everyone's views on something they want to talk about, if that's okay. So, Chloe, we may well have touched on it already, but, you know, what is the big issue for you at the moment that either we are talking about or not talking about enough?
I think that I don't hear as many people talking about it as they should, but social deprivation. This kind of... I worked on this with my Politics in Action initiative. I worked on social deprivation and drug abuse. And we went on a school trip to the Dáil, actually. And one thing that Leo Varadkar said that really annoyed me was they were bringing up social deprivation in rural Ireland. And he turned around and said, and I quote, "Rural Ireland is fine." I'm from Fannet, the ruralest of rural places, and we're not fine. The levels of immigration are sky high and the lack of amenities are shocking. And then what goes hand in hand with that deprivation is drug abuse. And on top of that, the rising costs of fuel, food and everyday essentials. It's the cost of living on top of that is ridiculous. And then young people are getting bored and they're turning to drugs. And I think, what was it, in 2020, there were 218 drug-related deaths in Northern Ireland alone. And it all comes back. Everything filters back to social deprivation.
Yeah, and I mean, just on that, there were three drug-related deaths in Derry at the weekend, and now it was on the front page of a newspaper yesterday. So no, but it wasn't mentioned. Can you imagine three people dying in a boating incident or a road traffic collision? You know, it would be, but it was three people who died. Suspected to have died because of a bad batch of drugs. Okay, as I say, I just want to make sure we get through everything. We can come back to other people with views on that. What do you think, Steve, and what's the big issue for you that we either should be talking more about or we're not talking about at all?
It's really coming back to Chloe's point there. It's social deprivation, rural deprivation, rural awareness, and I'd say Cathy will come in on this now. We're seeing a lack of services, a lack of support just in these rural regions, whether it be Donegal or down the west. It is significantly lacking, whether it be transport, health, education. What I would like to call, anyway, at least even housing, housing absolutely is them four big points are what we're seriously lacking up here, and that's what I think we're not talking about enough. Maybe we are talking about it up here, but we're not talking about it enough down, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's not being heard, and I think really in Chloe's commentary, and what I think the phrase was annoyed her about the leader of the country is his lack of awareness. And I'm thinking too, as we speak now, the struggle in households across the Northwest about sending people to third level, because all of the problems we've talked about can be a hindrance to people's education as well. And, being able to afford accommodation, people just missing out on Susie grants and wondering how the hell are they going to pay to send a young person onto college, but wanting to do the best for them. And at the same time, many of them, and I've spoken to them, living in a house that's falling down around their ears because of defective concrete. Cassie, I mean, if people don't recognise there are problems, it's going to be a struggle to get them to address them.
No, yeah, 100%. Because say if you look at Donegal, for example, if you're a college student and if you want to go to study in UCD or DCU, somewhere in Dublin or Galway, whatever, and you know it's your dream course, your dream skills since you're younger, and then it's nearly impossible to find maybe housing in Dublin or in Galway. So then it's either you save up for your accommodation or you save up for transport, that may be a car. Because here in Donegal, we don't have very great transport. You know, we are only got our draft now for trains. And that will only be coming in maybe 2050. And there's a lot of controversy around that. And, you know, it's going, if you decide then to save up for your accommodation and say if you have to get the bus up maybe even so many times, and if you didn't even get the accommodation, you could be spending up to nearly 1,000 euro a month, maybe on transport, nearly from Donegal down to Dublin. And that's an utter disgrace. And say even Donegal, you know, the housing, it's either got maybe has mica in it, or it's way over someone's budget. You know, the transport I already touched on, it's not good enough. Genuinely, it's not. And it's not fair on the young people that you have to bring it up. It should be more of saying, here, look, can you just not look at Donegal and say, the transport's not brilliant. You know, nowhere in the country has brilliant transport, let's be honest. But Donegal doesn't have the best support system for it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to ask you briefly, each of you, because we have to wrap it up now. And I'll start with you because you're the last speaker. Cassie, whether you want to or not, do you see your future in Donegal?
No, I don't.
All right.
And I would love to. You know, I see myself going to the ATU when I'm older, but I don't see myself staying here for very long then.
Right, and I'm not on about, I mean, obviously some of you are going to have the desire to travel, but I'm on about maybe, you know, if you wanted to stay here, do you feel you could? I'll ask the same question to you, Chloe. As much as you might hope it is, and maybe you don't, do you think you have a future to live and work and prosper in Donegal?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't think so, to be honest. I'm hoping to go to Galway for college, and if I like it down there, I might stay. I could go to England or Dubai.
No, come back. Where did you just say Dubai? No.
Anywhere.
Right, we're going to have to get your passport off you. Tiernan, what about you? Do you see your, as I say, it's not what you might want, but, you know, in terms of fulfilling all of the dreams that you might have, do you feel you can do that in the Northwest?
Donegal is my home. It's where I grew up. It's where I go to school. But do I see myself achieve my hopes and dreams here? No.
Wow. Steve, come here. I haven't time to get into it. We're going to have to return to this one again. Stephen, what about you?
Look, even already doing the youth activism, I can't stay here. And going into the future, whether it be college or work, I can't stay here.
Okay, what a really depressing note to end on. And not from you, Stephen, from all of you. Do you know what I mean? Come here, we're going to do this again. Did you enjoy it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, I think it's really important that we speak to you and not about you. So thank you so much for your time. Stephen Lynch on the Student Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Good morning to you. Thanks for your time. Bye. Yeah, I'm mixing up people's names, am I? Stephen Sheridan. Tiernan Lynch. Sorry, Stephen. Stephen Sheridan, Student Councillor with Mulroy College. Tiernan Lynch on the Student Council of Loretto Community School, Milford. Thanks very much. Great to see you again.
Thank you.
Look after yourself. Chloe, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Take care of yourself. Thank you very much again.
We'll chat soon.
And last but not least, of course, Cassie Lamb. Have a goodie. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the programme again as well.
Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. All right, 086 60 25,000 if you want to comment on anything we've been talking about or raise your own issues. Back after the news and obituary notices following this break.